Bible to chapter 23 of Joshua. And everybody got someone online? Can you see? Do you need more light? There's always a smart aleck. That, you know, CJ, that's the second time you're getting me. Okay. Payback is, you know what? Okay. Let's start. We might laugh at or look down on these Israeli people who wandered around the wilderness for 40 years and then they moved into the new territory, the promised land, the land of Canaan. And they lived there and throughout the years, and we find it as we find it in the First King and Second King and First and Second Chronicles that these people continuously walk away from the faithfulness of God and move into the territory they should not go in, such as worshiping land gods of a pagan. God specifically told them not to do that, but they continue to do that. Somehow we think that we can be better. But if we put ourselves in their sandals, if we take a place in their position, I don't think, even all the born-again Christians, I don't think we would be much different. And you may say, well, I would be different if that's the case. Let me put it this way. Today, many people claim that they are followers of God we supposedly make a choice, but many of them, I'm not saying all of them, but many of them turn their heart from God to the things they like to do. And you may say, well, name one. How about church attendance? How about tithing? When it comes to that kind of thing, then people say, well, there's a good football game on Sunday morning, so I'm going to skip to church. And God will understand. Oh, I got to buy this fishing pole or gun, Mike. So I can skip the tithe. I'm not saying that he's skipping the tithe. He better not, because I'll shoot him. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Anyway, we kind of have a different priority. And somehow we think that God understands. We should not have that kind of concept. It's not just congregation, it's not just people, but even the church leaders have that attitude. So a lot of them becoming the church leaders because of prestige and the money. To be honest with you, there's a lot of money involved in the Christianity if you call it industry. They are not a true shepherd, but they are the hirelings. They are the kinds of wolves in the sheep clothing. I'm there to say that kind of thing. And they, instead of feeding the flock, they fleece the flock. They literally skin the sheep. And they like to be called a reverend. So that's another reason why I don't like the word, the title reverend. Sounds like, you know, they are in a different planet. And they like to be treated different, and they are not helpful to the Christianity, but they are the cause of they're hurting the cause of Christianity because they don't serve him with the sincerity in their heart. Now the Joshua is facing the end of his age, advancing in his years, and now finally he's going to come give two final speeches to the leaders and the people of Israel. And he's going to, the idea is not to promote him to make himself look good, but he's trying to challenge them about serving God, staying with God. Because he knows the heart of the Israeli people, just like we know the many of the so-called followers of Jesus Christ who will walk away from God at no time. So we'll start with a prayer, and chapter 23, verse 1. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we're thanking you for the word we are about to receive. It is a privilege to hear from you. Many people consider this Bible is just another book. But it is not another book. It is timeless wisdom. It's a voice of God. we take this seriously. It is our desire for us to be more like Jesus, less like ourselves. We like to learn from the Joshua, this great general, great man of God, who walked with you all his life. Of course, it's not without a fault, but a lot better than many of us did. So we're asking you to open our heart to receive your wisdom, receive your guidance. We also lift up the Graham family. I'm sure there is a big loss in losing Ruth Graham. Comfort them. And through this, many people come to know Jesus. Somehow you turned the situation. Because of the death of Ruth Graham, people may come to know Jesus. That is your desire. That is our desire. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in case some of you didn't hear that Dr. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, passed away. Today, what time? All the afternoon. Verse 1 of chapter 23. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord has given the rest to the Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age. And Joshua called for the all Israel, for their elder and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. Joshua's long life started with the Egyptians' slavery. His life is going to end in the worshiping God in the promised land. In between those two great journeys, the events God used to lead the Israeli people into this defeating the enemies and conquering the land and claiming the promised inheritance. Now the Apostle Paul and Joshua can say, I fought the good fight and I have finished my course and I kept the faith. Some of you guys remember that it's from the 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. That should be our desire. At the end of our life, we can all say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. So the first note there, you guys have that someone online there. His greatest concern was his people and their relationship to the Lord. Relationship. He didn't want to leave them until he had challenged them once again to love the Lord and keep his commandment. He wanted to make sure they understand that there's some things to coming along, and he wanted them to challenge. He wanted them to be prepared to counteract this danger. Joshua gave them these people three things. You will see the three headlines. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember what the Lord has said to you, and remember what the Lord would do to you. There's three things. Remember the past. Remember what God is speaking to you. Remember what God will do to you if you don't obey. So we'll start at the verse 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. And see, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be the inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. By reminding them about what the Lord has done, and Joshua could hope that they would follow God with the God-given commandment. See, the same God who overcame the enemy will continuously protect them and continuously conquer this land as long as they are willing to obey God. Remember many times I said this, past isn't good only for the reminder, only to remember what the Lord has done for us. And if we don't remember, if we only remember the failure in the past, it can be disastrous things. Next in the sermon online is just like this Israelite quickly forget God's faithfulness, We too often forget His faithfulness and His track record in our lives. That is the precise reason why we, what? Worry. Because we forget how faithful He is. If we remember how faithful He is, we wouldn't worry about it. If we we pray to God and God meet our needs, and if we remember that He's going to come through. But we don't remember that thing, so we start to worry. As we read the Bible and see what the Lord has did in the past, for those who trust in Him, that encourage us and allow us to trust in Him more than ever before, and give us courage and confidence. Now, the second thing that the Joshua wants to remind them is remember what the Lord is saying to them. Verse 5. The Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess this land, their land, and as the Lord your God promised you. Verse 6. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it and to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these whom remain among you, you shall not make nations of the name of you shall not mention of the name of your God, their God, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall underline hold fast, please. Some of your versions says cleave. If you have a King James Version, probably says cleave. Hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. The secret of Joshua and the victory of the reason for the victory of the Israeli people is not the mighty army of Israel. Rather, it is God who promised them. It's the word of God. Joshua simply obeyed the word of God and followed God's commandment. While he's doing that, he gets to know about God through the word of God. He gets to know God, and he gets to love God. Folks, this word of God, the Bible on your left, it's a manual for us, for our daily lives. While we study this book, we get to know Him. I was impressed with Dr. Billy Graham and Ruth Graham. How many years? 65 years. As you guys know, Karen and I celebrated 26 years wedding anniversary this year. That's nothing to compare with what they had, 65 years. Some people don't even last the 6 months. I heard somebody, one guy tried to run over his wife then after they got married in Las Vegas. He didn't like the way she said it, so he tried to run over her. It was not even 6 days, I guess. Nowadays, people don't care about the commitment. But these people made a commitment again with the guy in the presence of witness, so they choose to keep. They get to know each other for 65 years because they communicate. They get to know each other's heart. While we communicate with our God through this word of God and prayer, we get to know His heart. And we get to falling in love with Him over and over and over. He loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. And why should we not fall in love with Him? Next item that you can fill out is we must not turn aside from the Word of God, word to the right hand or left, because Satan does not care which extreme he gets us to do. Either legalism or licentiousness. Either one. Any extreme, As long as we get into the extreme, as long as we get turned away from God, He meets His goal. All of us feel the pressure from our workplace, our neighborhood, and because we are going against the stream, when the whole world is saying that abortion is okay, and we say no abortion. When the whole world said peace, 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 we say no, there won't be peace until the true Prince of Peace comes. And they try to come up with a peace around for the world, but they will never accomplish it, because ever since human came into the picture, there never been a peace, starting with the first murder by Cain. It's been a murder after murder after murder. This word that I asked you on the line, hold fast, that is the same word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, please. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. You there?
Yep.
I cannot find the 24. There it is. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Some of you are virgins that cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's why some of the Bible teachers say leave and cleave. Leave mother and father and cleave to one another. Join together, hang on to each other, hold fast to one another. That's what God is telling us to do. Israel is considered as bride of Jehovah God. Church is considered as what? Bride of Jesus Christ. What am I trying to say? Israel is supposed to hold fast. Israel is supposed to cleave. Church is supposed to cleave unto Jesus Christ. But when we start to put something else in between us, it's the same thing as having an adulterous life. Am I making sense to you? That's why God is a jealous God. God is holy God. He will not put up with any kinds of things or anyone that comes in between us. Again, I'm going back to what we just said. He doesn't want us to turn to the right, left or right. He wants us to follow Him every step of the way. Continue in verse 11. Therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of the nation, and this that remain among you, make a marriage with them and go into them and they to you. Know that certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourged on your side and thorn in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given to you. Behold, this day I am going away of this all the earth, and you will know in all your heart and in all your souls that not one thing has failed all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come past for you, and no one word of them have failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until He has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which you commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, bow down to them, and then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which He has given to you. Sermon outline that you see it is, and the word of God is like a two-edged sword. If we obey, God will bless us and help us, But if we disobeyed, God will chasten us until we submit to Him. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Some of you guys know that by heart. Hebrews 4, 12. Hebrews is located right before the book of James in the New Testament, right after Titus. 4:12. For the word of God is a living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. That is so good. That is so good. It is the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. That means it knows what we are thinking. God knows what we're thinking. Another item that you see in the sermon note is some of God's promises is unconditional, like salvation or His love for us. God loves us no matter what. And Jesus Christ is for all mankind. That's some of them are unconditional, but some of them are conditional and depends on our obedience for the fulfillment. As long as we do what the Lord wants us to do, He will fulfill His promises. It's up to us to do it, and He's not playing the game with us. He's all ready to fulfill His end to deal, the end of the deal. But we are the one who is causing the problem. He's willing to fulfill His end of the bargain, but we are the one who is not keeping the promise. So, now that from verse 1 of chapter 24 in Joshua, verse 14, you will see that Joshua kind of repeating the history of the Israel, starting from Abraham all the way to the conquered land. It's been said the histories, and listen carefully please, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it again and again. This is good. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it again and again. If we don't remember what kinds of mistakes we made in the past and we don't remember that, and we will most likely continue to make the same mistake. As I said before, past is good for remembering what kinds of mistake we made and not to make that kinds of mistake again. Chapter 24, now we go to the verse 15. And of course, you guys know this, a lot of especially ladies know this verse. But before we go there, let's remember this. God is reminding them about this history through Joshua. What is the main reason? You will see the item there. I'm sure that you all have noticed the Lord remind them, the Israelites, that it was Him, it was God, who made all this conquest successful, not them. They get to live in the cities they did not build. They get to eat the fruit out of this vineyard they did not plant. And they get to drink water out of a cistern they did not dig. In other words, it was literally given to them. It was a gift to them. It was a blessing to them. Same is true to our blessing. We didn't earn them. It was a gift from God. We cannot earn the salvation. It was a gift from God. Any of you guys earn the salvation? That if you earn the salvation, we need to talk. So let's jump into the verse 15 of chapter 24. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your father served that were on the other side of the river, O gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Underline, triple underline, highlight, circle. That should be our motto. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, "For far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord your God, our God, is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, including Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Okay, another outline there is Joshua commanded them to choose whom they will serve. You will serve, not if you will serve. We will all serve someone, either evil, either devil, intentionally or not, or the Lord. We really are not left an option of not serving anyone. We will serve one or another. We will serve evil or we will serve God. We will serve God or we will serve evil. If we don't serve God, if it's in our nature's going, and I mean, if we like to do whatever we want to do, guess whom we get to serve? Well, naturally, we'll serve the devil, because that's how our wicked mind goes. Even if there is a good person who can do all the good things, still that person is serving evil, because if that person is not serving God, that person is serving evil under the good name. Joshua also understood that the priest of family, as a priest of the family, he had to declare that this house will serve God Almighty. See, at your home, you have to set the record. You have to pretty much set the standard. Especially guys, as a priest of the house, you have more obligation, you have more responsibility to lead your family to the right direction. Don't tell your wife, teach the kid about Jesus Christ. No, it's your job. Everybody must worship, and some of you guys remember, some old people like me, remember Bob Dylan's song, "You Have to Serve Somebody." You know how he said, "You have to serve somebody." That's about as bad as Bob Dylan, how bad Bob Dylan is. Huh? You don't remember? That was before your time?
By the way, his time has never come.
Oh. We have this incurable religious mindset in all human mind. We will serve one or another, one person or another, either God or devil. Joshua was one of those two people who's still alive who came out of the Egypt. There were 2 million people came out of this Egypt, bondage of slavery. One is two people survived, Caleb and Joshua. We don't know that when Caleb died, but Joshua is the one who is talking here. And he's the kind of guy, remembered what this Israeli people did. At Mount Sinai, these people, Israeli people, the fathers of this particular generation, swore up and down, "We will serve God." And a few weeks later, guess what they did? They danced around the naked, around the golden calf. Didn't they promise to Moses and Aaron and Joshua, "We will serve God Almighty"? Yes, they did. What happened? Their mind went away. Just because one day we promise to God, "I will serve you," that doesn't mean we will stay in the course. Unless we have this communion with Him through the Word of God daily. That's why I emphasize so much that having a daily communion, devotion through the Bible. If you don't do that, you will be I promise you, you will be astray from God. It doesn't take very much. So next one you can fill out is choosing our God and following Him exclusively requires denouncing of our desire and ourselves. It is no wonder why the Lord Jesus Christ taught us that if we want to follow Him, we must deny ourselves what? How often? Daily. Why daily? Not just one time in our lives, but daily. It is because our carnal desires do not die that easily. We have to deny ourselves and deny our carnal desire and follow God. This morning, I was looking around. I think as you guys know, we moved into our new home about 6 months ago. They supposedly, in a poultry home, supposedly treat the house and around the yard with something so that we won't get off weed for the first year, right? Anyway, I went to the side of the house. There's a weed came out about food. I went to the backyard, and there was a jungle out there. Actually, I don't know when that grew up, because our barbecue grill is standing in front of us, and it was coming from the behind there. So I was spraying that chemical thing, and I was thinking about this portion of the study. And I realized that that's what our heart is like. If we are not on top of controlling our carnal desires, it will go haywire. Just at one afternoon rain, if you don't take care of your yard will be full of weeds. If we don't take care of our heart and be on top of it, our heart will be filled with the weed of carnal desire. Don't think that anyone is not going to happen to you. It will happen to you. Verse 19 through 33, you can read it. It's pretty much talking about the promise of God and challenging the people. So Joshua has made two farewell speech, and with ample evidence, he is obviously a true leader. Why? Because he's concerned about this people's future. Unlike King Hezekiah, and you will find him in the First King, in Isaiah chapter 39, that when he was told by the prophet that his people will be taken to the Babylon and will be captives, and he said, I'm quoting, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. You know, that sounds like a rather selfish leader. To him, well, nothing's going to happen, everything will be fine while I'm alive. True leader concerned about the future. So people who, you can jot it down, people who think that only what they can get today are only opportunists and not true leader. The leadership means planting the right seed that will bear fruit in the years to come for the benefit of others, and Joshua did that. Mom and Dad, that's why it is so important for you to put the seed, good seed, in your children's heart. Grandma and Grandpa, it is so important for you to put the right seed in your grandkids' heart to serve God, to love God, to follow God. Otherwise, they will grow to be another carnal, wicked human being, just like us. And another one you can write it down. The greatest need in the church today is for the God's people to see how much they are missing by wandering in the unbelief or by living in the borderline of blessing, and then to claim the God's promises and enter into their spiritual inheritance. One thing I cannot understand is why anybody wants to play borderline game. either in or out. Remember when mom and dad used to yell at us when we're holding the refrigerator door, sticking our heads in but sticking our butts outside and looking inside and not sure what we want to eat? In or out, right? They used to yell at us. Folks, don't play game. Don't play game with God. Either you're in with God or outside of God. There's no other way around. Let's make an application. I'd rather kind of go over the attribute of God. You will see it in the application here. He is a God of covenant with His people. Of course, whatever He promised, He keeps. He's a God of covenant with His people. Second attribute is He is a holy God who will not tolerate sin. Whether it's a small sin or big sin. Folks, there's no such a thing as white lie. Okay? There's no such a thing as a white lie. If you lie, it's a lie. Go to God, confess sin, make it right. Third attribute I find is that He is God who requires obedience in the part of His people. Obedience on the part of His people. Remember, rebellion in 1 Samuel says, rebellion is like witchcraft. God despises it. Fourth attribute we find is He is the God who never fails. Whatever He promised, He keeps. There's no one who can go against God. So, He never fails. Fifth attribute I find is that He is a God of wonders. Whatever we did wrong, God can turn it around and make it good. Just because we blew it, that doesn't mean it's the end of it. God can make it good. And He's a God of wonder. God of miracle. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word. We are asking You to speak to our heart and let Your word remain in our heart and change our lives. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be borderline Christian. We don't want to be borderline followers. Let us follow You with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pass around, please. Sorry.